listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio.
Hello everybody, this is Jackie King Turner. You're listening to your radio station, Stratford Community Radio. And as you all know by now, my show is called This Much I Know, not How Much I Know, but it's the wisdom of my guests. And we're still working the rural theme this week. We did it a bit last week with gardening and stuff. I don't know whether the previous week with stunt dogs counts as rural, probably not, Sam, does it? But anyway, I'm delighted to welcome Mike Osborne to the show. He's the secretary of Stratford-on-Avon and District Beekeepers Association. Welcome, Mike.
Hello.
Now, Sam is supporting my technical competence as ever. The first 5 minutes of the show are always the dodgy ones, aren't they? Uh-huh. So why am I here? What am I doing? If you have any questions, then send them in to me at info@myscr.co.uk. And I've just had my eyes tested, which I have to say is better than root canal. But I have to say a big thank you to Richard Phantom of Walford and Round, who made the whole rather traumatic experience better than it could have been. Those of you who know me will know that I'm an intensely competitive person, and I was very amused to find out that one of the reasons why my eyes don't work very well is because they are both competing with each other for the attentions of my brain. So not only am I competing with absolutely anything I can compete with, but my eyes are competing with each other, which I think is a bit sad and probably not at all interesting to anybody apart from me. But there you go.
MySCR.co.uk.
We set up a Facebook page for This Much I Know, so do go and have a look at that if you're on Facebook, and please become a fan because we like to know you're listening. There are some photos on it. I haven't uploaded the photo from last week yet, but I will. And I've also put on some information about future guests as well. So do put in some comments, what you think, what you like, what you don't like. Emails can get to me while I'm on the show, info@myscr.co.uk. But if you want to comment at another time, then send them to the Facebook page. And if you know of anyone who you think would make a good guest, then that's the way to tell me. So go to the This Much I Know Facebook page and leave a message on the wall. Also, a quick and shameless plug for the Miramar Belly Dance Spectacular at the Civic Hall on March the 28th. I'm sure you all know I'm part of that troupe, and we're doing an amazing show with two other troupes in aid of Stratford and District Mencap, so a wonderful cause. March the 28th in the afternoon, tickets from the box office. And finally, after nearly 20 minutes, we're going to start talking about bees with Mike Osborne, who's the Secretary of Stratford and Avon and District Beekeepers Association. We've had a bit of a bee theme going on the show. I've had people who are beekeepers and country folk who like them before. But how did you get into beekeeping?
Well, Jackie, I've always been interested in what are known as social insects. I was one of these little boys found on his knees in the playground poking around in the ant's nest. So the opportunity came when I saw a hive advertised in the paper. This was actually on the outskirts of Birmingham where I lived then. And I went and bought it. It was owned by a Chinese gentleman, and I said to him, well, I presume you like honey. And he said, well, no, it wasn't really the honey, it was the grubs I was after, which took me by surprise slightly, because obviously, although there's plenty of protein in the little grubs, it's the honey that we're all after.
So what was he keeping the grubs for? To eat them or use them?
Yes, to eat.
Ooh.
I think you can fry them if you really want.
Oh, but that's a bit Bush Tucker trialish, really, isn't it? I was wondering if they use them for some obscure Chinese oriental remedy or whatever, ground up.
I don't know. It was obviously the grubs he was interested in. But this was my first experience with a beehive here. So I put it in the car and I had a smoker going just to make sure I didn't get stung while I was driving in the back of the car. But of course, as soon as I stopped at some traffic lights, all the smoke drifted forward and I was left coughing and spluttering at the traffic lights.
Could you see?
I could just see the lights to see when they changed. Then I was off home with them. It's not something I would recommend, because nowadays we do have to be careful about things like disease. So you have to really know what you're doing, or buy your hives from a really responsible source.
So where did he give you any training or anything, or did you go somewhere to learn?
No, I got a book out of the library. And just taught myself. Now, again, nowadays, you see, we as an association, we run a course, and we would recommend that. And this allows you to get the best equipment. We can provide bargain equipment and bargain offers, and also, particularly, again, we can show you where you might get disease problems and how to look after the equipment, should you get any.
Because it's made it onto Doctor Who, actually, mentioning that bees are in danger. So it's something that a lot of people are, at least at the early stages, interested in.
Yes, there is a big interest now in beekeeping. And we hope, by running courses, to make sure that these are people who will do it properly. Unfortunately, the days when you just put a hive at the bottom of your garden and took the honey off once a year have gone because of, as I say, things like imported diseases and other problems.
Well, one of the things on your website, we'll give the details of that out in a little bit, but one of the things that struck me, there's an agenda of the stuff that you do over the year, and it's quite intensive, isn't it? I mean, there's something that you need to do on a husbandry basis pretty much every month of the year.
Yes. In about May, June, you need to really look at them every week because of the possibility of swarming, which we can talk about again. Otherwise, yeah, once a month is good enough to look at them.
So how did your experience differ with the experience of someone who's getting into bees nowadays?
Well, the first thing anybody who comes to us via our website say, the first thing we say to them is, we'll join the association. And by joining the association, firstly, you get things like a newsletter with all the up-to-date news and tips on how to look after your bees as it goes through the year. You become a member also of the British Beekeeping Association. All the local associations, like Stratford, are members of the British Beekeeping Association. And this is the nationwide association which deals with the government, for example, trying to get money out of them in order to do research into the reasons for the recent losses in bees. So you get a newsletter from them as well. And of course, always there are other members in the association who are willing to help you. It's an area where there's no competitiveness between members. We're all there to help each other. And particularly, of course, you have the course that we run every year.
That is something that struck me. Everyone who I've met who has either had their own hives or has been involved in bees has, A, been very sociable about it, I suppose, much like the animals, or even insects. And they're very keen on sharing their knowledge, basically, with other people. They want to share the passion, basically.
Yes, certainly, because, I mean, it's slightly self-interest, because if you have a beekeeper in an area who's not looking after his bees properly, they'll get diseased, and if they get diseased, it'll spread to the other bees in the area. So there is a certain amount of self-interest.
So let's talk through what the process might be. We're going to be doing a lot of that today, I think. You decide that you'd like to have a hive at home. What do you do? What's your first step? Book yourself onto a course?
Yes, you come on our course. Our course starts in January, and it goes through to practical work in April. During the course, we give guidance as to where people can buy hives, for example. You did mention the person who recently was on your programme from Omelette, who sells plastic hives.
Yes, the Bee House.
The Bee House, yes.
And that's HAUS, as in Bauhaus, as opposed to...
Yes, which makes me suspect that it's imported.
Oh, no, they're all... Well, I've been to where they make them, because I've got an omelette egloo for the chickens.
Oh, have you?
they're all at least assembled
in
just
this
outside
Banbury. Yeah, fair enough. Yes, we can talk about different sorts of hives, which is obviously what we would do on the course. And then also you have to have protective equipment. And again, we show the different sorts of protective equipment that you can have. Anything from just a veil to cover your face to a complete bee suit to cover you all over.
Do you find that you need to kind of deck yourself out with everything to start with? Because that's one thing. I'm a bit scared of bees, frankly. And whilst I would love to have the honey and do my bit for ecology or whatever, I am quite scared of getting stung by them.
We always say to our members, make sure you're fully covered, because there's no point in trying to enjoy a hobby if you're worried about the bees and being stung by them. So by having a full head-to-toe bee suit, you can forget about the bees and get on with looking in the hive and seeing what's going on.
So if you've got one of the, well, the, you know, the weird hat and then the whole suit thing, there's probably a technical term, being obviously such a fashionista myself. You know.
Well, it's just a bee suit.
The bee suit, indeed. I remember asking James if it came in any other colour than white.
But, oh, yes, it does.
It does.
Nowadays, particularly nowadays, yes.
Oh, good. So if you're wearing one of those and you won't, if one tries to sting you, the sting won't go through the suit. So what I'm saying is, will it hurt if you get stung while you're wearing one of those?
It's possible, probably, still to be stung through places in the suit. We would not guarantee you would never get stung. In fact, you will get stung. As a beekeeper, sooner or later, you will get stung. Now, this is something, of course, we point out to all beginners, because some people are allergic. And when we say allergic, we mean life-threateningly allergic.
Anaphylactic.
That's right, they go into anaphylactic shock. As it happens, my wife is like that.
Oh, goodness.
Which is perhaps unfortunate. However, it does give me a slight edge over her if there's any domestic problems.
Yes, indeed. If you don't do what I ask, I will put you in the beehive.
Huh. Well, I keep a bee in a matchbox just handy.
Oh, okay. Gosh, can you imagine? No, 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 no. Yeah, that's better than I won't put out the rubbish for a week. But goodness. Okay, I think that's quite an important point, that you're not going to emerge scot-free from this, are you? Your hobby is going to involve a small amount of pain.
Yes, if I get stung, though, I don't, literally seconds, I can't tell where it was.
Right.
But if my wife gets stung, it's off down to the emergency unit. She does have a self-loaded injecting pen, EpiPen as it's called, which injects adrenaline into her.
Yes, I have I have a nephew who's anaphylactic, allergic to nuts, and so he has one of those
similar,
with him at all times.
That's right.
I think at that really jolly moment, we should mention the website, shouldn't we? So if we haven't put anybody off, if anyone out there is still very keen to find out more about bees, it's Stratford, let's have a look, www.stratford-upon-avon.freeserve.co.uk, isn't it?
That's right.
Okay. And I'll read that out again, stratford-upon-avon.freeserve.co.uk. And I know there's nothing to do with bees in there, but it really is there, isn't it? Because I checked it last night.
Yes, it is.
So that will tell you probably more than you ever imagined possible about bees.
Oh, yes, and there are links to all sorts of other sites. Oh,
okay, excellent.
This is Stratford Community Radio.
Here I am talking about bees, and still getting over having my eyes tested, I have to say. I had some gunky stuff put in my eyes to have that glaucoma test, and it makes you feel like you're peering out of the world slightly strangely. And a slight... Sam was saying, you like having your eyes tested, don't you? Nodding, works really well on radio,
yeah.
Sam. And he took photos of the back of my eyeball, which my family will relate to because my eldest daughter has a science exam next week and we were testing her on parts of the eyeball last night, so that was quite handy. But seeing the back of your own eyeball is somehow very, very wrong. I don't know quite why. There's bits of the insides of me that I don't really want to see, and I think the back of my eyeball is probably one of it. But then at least the optician did go through a whole load of other people's eyeballs as well. So this is why yours is better than that one. So even in my kind of slightly enfeebled nervous state, I could be competitive about the state of the back of my eyeballs. Ooh, and you still like having your eyes. Do they take photos of the back of your eyeballs?
No.
No, okay. Well, maybe if your eyes are as wonky as mine, they would do. But I don't know if that's a big thing, if anyone else seen the back of their eyeballs and thought they were good, bad, whatever. Anyway, looks a bit like a planet. I think probably we're going to put people off. Either I'll put people off their lunch, I should think. I do apologise if you're eating, folks, and we're talking about eyeballs. Yes, I think we'd better move swiftly back onto bees. One of the when I expressed an interest of having a hive at home, Mike, the first thing my husband did was go, "Oh no, not something else to look after," and tell us exactly how labour intensive it is to have them at home. You know, the kind of daily, weekly, monthly outlay in terms of time.
Well, it has one advantage that during the winter months you don't do anything,
right?
Providing you've put them into the winter properly fed and properly treated for any possible disease, you don't do anything from sort of September round to April was when you first start to look at them. You have to keep an eye on them to make sure no woodpeckers have picked holes in them or mice have got into them and make sure that they do have enough food to get them through the winter. The reason why we have bees to keep, honeybees we're talking about, is they store themselves food to get through the winter. You see, wasps and bumblebees, for example, all die out. Only next year's queens are there. Honeybees, in order to give themselves a good start in the spring, store through the winter, enough stores to see themselves through the winter. So if they haven't got it naturally, you'll have to make sure that you top them up.
What do they eat then? Because if they're collecting the nectar and things from flowers, how do you replicate that?
Well, nectar from the flowers is basically sugars, various sugars, and it's the bees themselves who add the enzymes and proteins and so on to turn it into honey. So you can feed them just sugar syrup, which is a mixture of water and syrup, but you want to keep it down to as little as possible. Just make sure they've got enough to go through the winter. From an ordinary beehive during the year, you should be able to get, say, 50 pounds of honey, you know, a jar a week, as it were, is that right? Yes, a jar a week. And they will make at least that also for themselves to live on. And to get through the winter, they will need another perhaps 40 pounds, 30 or 40 pounds of honey. So it's possible to take off at least 50, even up to 100 pounds of honey for yourself, because they don't stop bringing it in. They just keep bringing it in all the time. They don't know whether it's going to be a good winter or a bad winter. They just keep bringing it in, and I'm afraid I tend to take it away from them.
God. But that's kind of why you have them, presumably, not
well,
just
yes.
Highly altruistic.
Yes, I have them because, I'm interested in them. I love looking at them and being part of their life, as it were. But also the fact that they produce honey does mean that the hobby becomes self-financing once you've got over the initial costs.
So you sell what you don't use at home?
I do. I sell it at the gate. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So anyone driving past the Snitterfield sort of area will be able to
yes.
have some of your very own.
Yes, I've taken the honey sign in, I'm afraid, because there's a question of there are too many people and not enough honey, as it were.
Oh, well, maybe in a couple of months' time.
That's right.
So what's the best bit for you? I know you were saying you were a child who liked investigating bugs and things, but what do you love about it now?
I'm afraid it's still the looking at the bees and being part of the bees and seeing how they're getting on and wondering at the extraordinarily organised life they have inside the hive. I do like honey and it's a bonus, but I hesitate to say it, but I might still keep bees even if I didn't get any honey from them.
Gosh, so we have chickens, one of which seems to have given up laying completely, and it's the same thing, I suppose.
Yes, it is.
People get very attached to them as well, don't they? Because I had my osteopath has bees, and he was completely devastated when his hive got attacked by a swarm of wasps.
Yes, certainly last autumn, the wasps were very bad, indeed. And a lot of people did lose bees to wasps. That's where you have to keep an eye on them, because you have to close the entrance right down so the bees will defend it themselves against the wasps. This is one of their natural predators, wasps. And of course, wasps don't just, they're not just vegetarians, they're carnivores, as it were. They'll pinch the grubs, the grubs out of the hive.
Which is next year's bees, presumably.
Yeah, so. Yes, or bees to get through the winter, yeah.
Goodness, I don't see the point of wasps, personally. I really don't. Again, regular listeners will know that I'm not that great with bugs of any description. Anything with more than four legs and less than two, and I'm a bit oof. But anyway, if you're interested, I hope we're not putting people off their lunch here, talking about insects and winged creatures or whatever. But if you want to find out more about beekeeping, then it really is good for the environment, isn't it?
Oh, certainly. You see, the number of pollinators are dying out and the number of bees are dying out. And this is part of the recent publicity has been for the government to put more money into research. And hopefully they are slowly now reacting to the requirements. But normally in a hive, say, in the middle of summer, there are 50,000 bees. Now, when I point this out to people, they're amazed because they'll say, well, there's plenty of other pollinators, bumblebees and so on. But in a bumblebee hive, for example, there could be 500 bees, which in no way, of course, compares with 50,000 would-be pollinators from honeybee hives.
Well, we have a lot of lavender in our garden, and when that's in flower, the garden is humming, basically, because virtually every stalk of lavender's got a bee on it.
Yes, and these could well be bumblebees, and certainly we need to look after them as well. But what the honeybees will do, of course, round here we see a lot of, for example, the oilseed rape, the yellow oilseed rape fields.
Oh, horrible stuff.
Well, the bees love that.
Do they?
Yes, and that's where you'll find that really full of honeybees.
Oh.
And they rely, you see, the oilseed rape growers rely on that being pollinated to get the seed.
Well, does that mean that there is, if you buy honey from a bee person in that area, it's going to be kind of oilseed rape flavoured?
It can be. Well, yes, it could be, yes.
Because that's one thing that always amazes me. You know, people say they've got clover honey or, I mean, we'll probably touch on this later, but Manuka honey from New Zealand and things like that. How do they know?
Well, that's something you can't really do that in this country.
Right.
It isn't possible for me to put at the gate and say, this is oilseed rape honey or this is, you know, lavender honey.
Right.
It just isn't possible.
Oh, we've had a question in, actually, from a listener. Thank you, Sandra. Glad to hear you're listening. I've noticed the bees are feeding on the snowdrops.
Yes.
Is this where the bright orange pollen is coming from on their legs?
Yes, I'm very observant of her.
Indeed
it is. Snowdrops. If you want to grow something, snowdrops are so useful. They're there at this time of the year, first thing, when the bees are first coming out, first looking for some food, and the snowdrops. They have to be what are known as open ones, not double ones. Like roses, they have to be open so the bees can get on them and into them.
Yeah, because otherwise they wouldn't be. I mean, we've got some crocuses coming up in the garden, but apart from that, there's very little of a flowery nature.
That's right. Crocuses are good too, but they love snowdrops, and I love snowdrops. So.
Oh, absolutely. Gosh, after the winter we've had, it's been lifts the soul a bit, doesn't it, when you can see stuff starting to grow.
Yes.
We haven't seen any bees in our garden, though. I mean, we've had bees flying around pretty much in all the weather apart from the snow, but we haven't had any in our garden yet. Presumably you have, Sandra. Excellent. Now, what sort of costs do you think we're talking about for someone who wants to get started?
You've got the hive where you keep the bees. You've got the equipment to wear and a few tools to use, and like a smoker. And then you've got the bees themselves, of course, to be got hold of. Now, all this lot is going to cost you possibly up to £350, even £400. Now, again, this is where we as an association can ease this burden considerably. And we can get the price down through using local hive makers. We have somebody out on the Fossway who makes hives at a very good price. And we can get the cost down to perhaps £250. So it is, I say, worth joining the association. But if you were to buy a starter kit from through the post, say, as it were, it would cost you £360, something like that.
And does that come with bees as well?
No, on top of that, you have to buy the bees. And you can pay up to £100 or more just for the bees.
Well, if you're getting 50,000, then that on a price per bee is quite small, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, you order bees, you won't get 50,000.
Right.
They come in a box known as a nucleus box, and there might be at the very most perhaps 5,000 in there.
So you get
with
a queen.
With the queen.
Okay.
It's the queen is the important thing. There could be, 5,000, 10,000 and the queen. Because, as you know, there's one queen in each hive, and all those 50,000 bees are her children, which is quite an interesting statistic.
Glad that's not how humans work, frankly.
Well, when you think that during the summer, the length of life of a worker bee, which are incidentally all female, is perhaps 6 weeks. So those bees are dying out every 6 weeks. And it means during a year, a queen could lay 200,000 eggs. Now she lives perhaps 3, sometimes 4 years, but say she lives 3 years, during that time she'll have laid 600,000 eggs. Now there's
a statistic. That's a baffling number. Oh, I'm so glad that's not how humans work. My goodness. But that does beg the question about why things are going so wrong in the bee population, because if their life turnover is 6 weeks, basically, it doesn't take a lot to upset the balance completely.
That's right. That's right. There are two major problems now affecting bees. In a general term, we're talking about the climate change, and we're talking about what they call the global economy, I guess. In other words, as I think most people know, all the beehives in Warwickshire, Stratford, will have varroa mites in them. These originated in the Far East. They don't fly, and yet there they are in my hives, in my back garden in Stratford. So they've come in over the channel, on flowers or on aircraft. Somehow or other they've got themselves, and then they've gone from, in this country, from one bee to another bee and into my hive. And this means that other diseases can come in, and other mites and viruses can come in the same way.
And so is that something that actually resides on or in the bee, or does it reside
in the house? It's on the bee and goes into the comb where the grubs are.
How on earth do you treat 50,000?
Well, you don't. You treat them when there's a minimum number. You treat them in August when the bees are starting to die back for the winter. And you treat them with, as far as possible, without using chemicals. I use what's known as thymol crystals, and thymol comes from thyme, you know.
Smells nice.
Yes, and it's the evaporation of the vapour from the thymol crystals that kills the varroa mites, so they drop off. And what you have is a floor with a mesh on it, and the varroa mites fall through the floor. And you can get rid of them then. They're either dead or staggering ones. And that way you hope to clear out as many as possible, but you never eliminate them. There are always varroa mites there.
That's an indictment, really, isn't it? If that's of animal practices throughout the world, that something that you can't get rid of has appeared on this tiny country.
Yes. The difficulty is bees are insects. And there's a limit, therefore, obviously, to what you can use to get rid of any other similar things like mites that take up residence with them.
I'm also very aware, oh, listeners, if you're having your lunch right now, we are really talking about some things that I'm sure you'd love to hear about. But I'm sure if you're really interested in keeping bees, you need to know about the nitty-gritty, don't you? It's
yes.
Not all wafting around eating the honey. There's some
That's
hard
right.
graft as well.
That's right.
MySCR.co.uk.
This is Jackie King-Turner. You've been listening to your radio station, Stratford Community Radio. And a massive thank you to Mike for demystifying the world of the bee. I feel so much more informed now, and I hope, listeners, you do too. Thank you also for sending in your emails with questions. That's been fab. Now, I will just give you the website address. So if you have been enthused about this and want to have some bees in your own backyard, then have a look at www.stratford-upon-avon.freeserve.co.uk. And, oh, yes, Mike.
I'm just going to say, you know, a lot of you perhaps are listening in Stratford. We have got people offering sites where bees can be kept. If you don't feel happy putting them at the bottom of your garden in Stratford, then we can provide sites where they could be kept.
Oh, okay. So if you are somewhere like we are with too many horses and children and animals or whatever, then you can still indulge your hobby. But I suppose you're having your bees at livery, aren't you, really? Like you would to a horse.
I suppose so.
Anyway, fabulous. So look at that website, www.stratford-upon-avon.com. www.freeserve.co.uk and you will be enlightened. So thank you. It's been absolutely fascinating.
Well, thank
and
you.
That's been the feedback we've had on the internet, on the emails as well. Next week, we're going to be continuing our rural theme yet again, when we will have Bob Armstrong of Shipston Warfare coming in to talk to us. And remember to look at our Facebook page, This Much I Know on Facebook, for the latest information and hopefully more photos than there are there at the moment. Must go on that Cool Contours course, I think. And also remember to get your tickets to the Merrimah Belly Dance Spectacular on the 28th of March at the Civic Hall. Contact the Stratford-on-Avon Civic Hall box office. We will see you same time, same place next week, although it might be me back in a minute, or it might be that local show. It's a surprise a minute on Stratford Community Radio.
You're listening to SCR, Stratford Community Radio, online at myscr.co.uk.